is great, since in this night the noble Quran was sent down, which leads one who clings to it to the path of honor and nobility, and raises him to the summit of distinction and everlasting life. The Muslims who adhere strictly to the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, do not raise flags on this night, nor suspend colorful decorations. And we don't see this here, but this is what happens in Muslim countries, unfortunately. People treat it like it's Christmas or something like that. Unfortunately, you see it, and it's kind of a very... is great, since in this night the noble Quran was sent down, which leads one who clings to it to the path of honor and nobility, and raises him to the summit of distinction and everlasting life. The Muslims who adhere strictly to the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, do not raise flags on this night, nor suspend colorful decorations. And we don't see this here, but this is what happens in Muslim countries, unfortunately. People treat it like it's Christmas or something like that. Unfortunately, you see it, and it's kind of very disgusting, to say the least. Rather, they vow, meaning the real ibad of Allah, the real slaves of Allah who want to get close to Allah and get that reward on that night, they vow or they contend or they compete in standing during this particular night, Laylatul Qadr, and Salah, out of sincere faith and hoping for reward. Hear, O Muslim. Listen, O Muslim. Here are the Quranic ayat, and authentic prophetic hadiths referring to this night. As regards its fadl, fadluha is excellence. As regards its excellence, it is more than sufficient to mention that Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty, the Majestic, says, "Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr." وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. Verily we have sent it, meaning the Quran, down in the night of Al-Qadr, the night of decree, of which some people and probably good intentions, they translate it as night of power. And what will make you know what Laylatul Qadr is? Allah is rhetorically asking the question, and then he gives the answer. So the tafsir of the ayah is right there in the chapter itself. The tafsir of the ayah that came before it is explained. The tafsir of it is right after that verse. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. The night of Al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Therein descends Al-Ruh, تنزل الملائكة والروح. The angels and the Ruh descends by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission with all decrees. Salam, or peace, until the appearance of the dawn. And then the sheikhs go on, the two of them go on, حَفِظَهُمُ Allah, and in it every decreed matter for the year is conveyed. Every decreed matter for the year is conveyed. And what this means, basically, for those who remember, and things we do so many things and we learn so many things, sometimes we forget. But just as a reminder, for those who remember in the Aqidah class, when we got to the subject of Al-Qadr, Al-Qadr wa-Qadr, the divine decree and the occurrence of it, we mentioned that there are different types of writing, that the Qadr has different aspects. Anybody remember?
I know it's a lot of stuff. Anybody remember any of those aspects of divine decree pertaining to Allah? Sarav is, because Sarav got it right on the test, I think. Oh, huh? You remember that Allah has, one of the aspects of Al-Qadr is ilm, that Allah has knowledge of everything. Everything that happens or that doesn't happen before it happens. That's the first one. The second one was Al-Kitabah, that He writes. Everything that's going to happen is already written 50,000 years before He created all of this stuff, called creation. Right? And then Mashi'ah, right? The will of Allah. And what's the fourth one? You remember Abdul Samad? You remember? Huh? You forgot? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Anyway, the second one, Kitabah, has different aspects within itself. You have a daily writing, you have a weekly writing, you have a yearly writing, you have the writing that was written before you even came to the creation, right? The yearly writing is Laylatul Qadr. And on this night, on this particular night, for those who catch it, and all of us catch it, but we want to catch it. All of us go through it if you live for that week, or those 10 days, but we want to actually catch it. We want to catch it, meaning we want to get the benefit from it. On that particular night, everything that is determined for you for the year is going to be written. Written meaning it's already written, but when you catch it and ask Allah for what the good of it is, you're going to get it, and Allah will avert the evil if you ask Him for that. That was already written also. Because as the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يُعَدُّ الْقَضَاءِ إِلَّا الدُّعَى. Nothing changes the occurrence of what was written except dua. So if you stand at night on Laylatul Qadr and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may just have been this year that you get AIDS and Allah averts it. It may just be that you're going to get shot in your head and Allah averts it. It may just be that you're going to go to hell and Allah averts it for you, because you stood up that night in dua and salah only for the pleasure of Allah, asking Allah to give you the good and keep away the evil from you. That's why in Qunut, Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma atayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt. And we seek refuge with you, Allah, we ask you to take us away from the evil of that which you have determined. You see what you're saying? It was written that it was going to happen to you, and you begging Allah not to make it happen to you, so He makes it not happen to you. SubhanAllah, brother. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that the doors of Jannah are open in Ramadan and the doors of hell are closed. And then they're not, on this particular month, that more people are exempted from the hellfire. You could have been going, because you stood up iman and ihtisaban, you stood up with complete faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the expectation that Allah is going to forgive you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to His servants as they think He is. If you think Allah is going to forgive you and have mercy on you, He'll do that. If you think Allah is not going to do that, He won't do it. Simple as that. He is to His servants as they think that He is. So in this particular night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ أَمْرًا مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مُرْسِلِينَ رحمة من ربك إنه هو السميع العليم. We sent it, this Quran, down on a blessed night. Verily, we are ever warning, meaning the human beings, about our punishment. Therein, that night is decreed every matter of ordainment, because you have the qadr and you have the qada. You have the divine decree that Allah wrote everything 50,000 years before creation, and then the qada is the occurrence of that thing. That's the difference. The decree is written, and then the qadr is written, then the qadr is that which is the occurrence of the qadr, the decree. I say it again. It's already been written that you were going to have the car accident. The qadr, when we say we believe in qadr wal qadr, the qadr was that was written at 7:30 on Thursday, February 15th, on Market Street and Broad Street. Boom! You were going to have that accident. The qadar is the wuqua, is the occurrence of that which was written. If you make dua to Allah, He can avert it. You can make a right turn, go down Halsey Street, go down Bradford Place, and it not happen. How do you make the dua? I mean, how does Allah do it? Allah knows best. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are three ways in which dua is accepted by Allah or is answered by Allah. Number one is ta'jeel. He does it immediately. You make the dua, he does it immediately. The second way is he takes that dua and he stores it up for you in the next life. He takes it, stores it up. You keep making dua, you say, wow, Allah's not answering me, I wonder why. You're getting in the next life. The third way is that Allah uses it to avert something that was written for you. He doesn't make it happen to you, so you don't have the accident. Man, I'm trying to go to Hajj. I keep missing that plane. I'm trying to go to Omar. I'm trying to go to Oklahoma, whatever. I keep missing the plane. Every time I try to do something, something happens, I can't get there. Maybe that train was going to crash, or that plane was going to crash, or whatever. So this is the night, Laylatul Qadr, that all of the decrees for the year are going to be meted out for us. And then Allah says, أَمْرًا مِنْ عِنْدِنَا أَمْرًا مِنْ كَمَانِ a command, or this Quran, or his decree of every matter, from us, from Allah Azza wa Jal. Verily, we are ever sending the messenger as a mercy from your Lord. Verily, he is the As-Sami' and Al-Alim, the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Then the sheikhs go on, they say, Waqtuha, when is it? Here's the big controversy. When is Laylatul Qadr? لا يرد القضاء إلا الدعاء القضاء and even if it's qadr yeah even if it's qadr we remember for those who may remember that there's a principle in usul the scholars of Islam bring us a principle from usul that إذا افترق اجتمع وإذا اجتمع افترق that if the two words are mentioned separately one has one specific meaning the other one has another specific meaning like Islam and Iman. If you say Islam and Iman, Islam means all the external aspects of your deen and Iman means all the internal aspects of your deen. Right? But if you mention Islam by itself, Islam now means Islam and Iman. If you mention Iman by itself, Iman means Iman and Islam. If they mention separately. Right? Like Zakat and Sadaqah. Mention zakah by itself, zakah means one thing now, and sadaqah means something else. But if you mention zakah by itself, in general, it means zakah and sadaqah. The same thing with qadr and qadah. So it doesn't contradict itself in the hadith. When one narration says qadr, and the other narration says qadah, it still means the same thing. Then the sheikh says, both of them say, it is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is within the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, or the last night of Ramadan. Or the last night of Ramadan. And there are some different sayings about this. Like Imam al-Iraqi, rahimahullah, he's written a risala, or he's written a treatise on this. And the name of the book, the name of the treatise is Sharh al-Sadr bi Dhikr Laylatul Qadr. In which he regards the sayings of those particular scholars who have differences on the night. Anyway, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah he says كأن هذا عندي والله أعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يجيب على نحو ما يسأل عنه يقال له أن التمسها في ليلة كذا فيقول التمسوها في ليلة كذا to me it is as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم this is Imam Shafi'i's words in the book that is called Sharh al-Sunnah, it's recorded, Sharh al-Sunnah, by Imam al-Baghawi. The Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, says, to me, it is as the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to answer according to the question posed to him. It would be said to him, shall I seek it in such and such night? So he would reply, seek it in such and such night, and Allah knows best. Then they go on, they say, the most correct saying is that it occurs in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And we know from other hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that there are no better nights except for the last 10 nights. And there are no better days except for the days of Hajj. Those days, ayyam al-tashriq. Those days when you go slaughter and you sacrifice, you shave your hair, etc. There's no better days than those days. There's no better nights than the nights of Ramadan. So So he says the most correct saying is that it occurs in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and this is shown by the hadith of our beloved mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in which she said Allah's messenger used to practice i'tikaf in the last 10 nights and say that he used to say, seek out Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10 in the last 10 of Ramadan. This hadith is transmitted by Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. However, if the slave of Allah, the servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, is too weak or unable, then he should at least not let the last 7 days pass him by, due to what is reported from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seek it in the last 10, and if one of you is too weak or unable, then let him not allow that to make him miss the final 7. And this hadith is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Allah is merciful, subhanallah. You know, subhanallah. This explains his saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith collected, which was already mentioned in the early part of the book, I see that your dreams are in agreement, that is in the last 7. So he who wishes to seek it out, then let him seek it out in the last 7. It is known from the Sunnah that knowledge of the exact night upon which Laylatul Qadr falls was taken up because the people, what? They argued and quarreled. Because the Muslims were arguing and quarreling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the knowledge of that exact night. Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhuma radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out intending to tell us about Laylatul Qadr. However, two men were arguing, and he said, إني خرجت لأخبركم بليلة القدر فتلاحى فلان وفلان فرفعت وعسى أن يكون خيرا لكم فالتمسوها في 9 والـ 7 والـ 5 وفي رواية في 7 والـ 9 والـ 5. He said, I came out to inform you about Laylatul Qadr, but so and so and so and so were arguing, so it was raised up, فرفعت, and perhaps that is better for you. So seek it on the 20th, or the 29th, or the 27th, or the 25th. Now see, this part of the hadith gives us another, you know, hint. This is another hint now. Either A, these are the days out of the 10 that they're most likely to be in, the 29th, the 27th, or the 25th, or B, those other days, the 21st, the 23rd, and the 25th had already gone by. Or I should say the 23rd, 21st, and the 23rd had already gone by. And that's why he was saying it. Allah knows best. Some of the ahadith indicate that Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10 nights, while others indicate that it is in the odd nights of the last 10. So the first are general, and the second are more particular. And the particular has to be given priority over the general. Right? Like he said, the 29th, the 27th, or the 25th. Other hadith state that it is the last, that is in the last 7, and these are restricted by mention of one who is too weak or unable. So there is no confusion. All the hadith agree and are not contradictory. In conclusion, the Muslim should seek out Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10, the night of the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. If he is too weak or unable to seek it out in all the odd nights, then let him seek it out in the odd nights of the last 7, the night of the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And Allah, the Most High, knows best. Then the next section, how should a Muslim seek Laylatul Qadr? One who misses this blessed night, then he has missed much good. for no one misses it except one, and for no one misses it except one from whom it is withheld. Therefore, it is recommended that the Muslim who is eager to be obedient to Allah should stand in Salah during this night out of Iman and expectation, hoping for the great reward. Since if he does this, Allah will forgive him for his previous sins. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever stands in Salah in Laylatul Qadr out of Iman and seeking the reward, then all his previous sins are forgiven. All of them. And this hadith is collected by Imams al-Bukhari and Muslim, and it's on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended to supplicate a great deal in this night. It is reported from our mother Aisha Abdullah radiallahu anha that she said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتُ إِنْ عَلِمْتَ أَيِّ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ مَا أَقُولُ فِيهَا أَرَأَيْتُ إِنْ عَلِمْتُ أَيَّ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ مَا أَقُولُ فِيهَا قال قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. آمين. She said, O Messenger of Allah, what if I knew which night Laylatul Qadr was, then what should I say in it? He said, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. And inshallah, if the brothers want to practice this, I'll just say it maybe two or three more times slowly. Allahumma innaka afuun. Allahumma إنك عفو اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. آمين. O Allah, you are the one who pardons greatly, and you love to pardon greatly, so pardon me. And for those brothers who may not know what the word pardon is, this word pardon is really a very wide meaning, and I don't want it to diminish the meaning in any way, but you know how when the governor gives a person a pardon in prison, you know, you spend 15, 20, 30 years or he's on death row, and then the governor of the state gives you a pardon, right? Well, you just magnify that as far as you cannot magnify it, and then farther than that, and then farther than that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner befitting His majesty, He pardons that you cannot equal to anything that any governor or judge on the face of the planet Earth can pardon. But laysa kamithlihi shay, there's nothing like Him. So it also means His pardon is not like anybody else's pardon. Literally. A new lease on life, literally, because we have eternal life. On that particular night, if you ask Allah, just using that dua, on Laylatul Qadr, Allah will pardon you. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni. And so the sheikhs, they go on, they say, أخي بارك الله فيك ووفقك لطاعته. He says, O Muslim brother, you should know the importance of this night. And they didn't translate this in English, unfortunately. He says, أخي بارك الله فيك, may Allah bless you, ووفقك لطاعته, and may Allah make you successful in His obedience. This is a dua that the sheikhs are making for us. Ameen. You should know the importance of this night. So stand in prayer in the last 10 nights in worship, detaching oneself. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, I'd like to read this the way he brings it. He says, وَإِحْيَاءُهَا بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَاعْتِزَالُ النِّسَاءِ. He says, stand in the last 10 nights in worship, detaching oneself from the women. Detaching yourself, because we know it's permissible to be intimate with your wife during the nights of Ramadan. We know it's permissible. Allah mentions in the Quran, and there used to be a time when the Sahaba used to oversleep, and they couldn't do anything. They had to fast the whole day all the way for the next night. The next night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَبْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. And now, then Allah lifted that ban and said, now seek the bounty of your Lord and have sexual intercourse with your wives. So we know it's permissible. But the sheikhs here, because of the importance of Laylatul Qadr, they're reminding us in those last 10 nights, and more specifically Laylatul Qadr, stay away from the women. As though they have their menses. That's the word that they're using. اعتزال النساء. Because Allah says, تعتزل النساء في المحيد. Stay away from the women when they have their menses. So the sheikhs, using the same word that Allah uses in the Quran, for staying away from the women when they have their menses, that's the same word the sheikhs are using in their sentence. Stay away from the women. Not because they have their menses, but because you want to maximize every single benefit you can get on those last 10 nights. So you should now, should be acting like those Sufis reacted. But in the halal way and in the sharia way, you should be acting like those people who are hermits and recluses, those people who are, want to be like gurus. They stay away from anything that's worldly. And for those of you who unfortunately were looking at TV during this month, I would suggest and strongly advise you as your brother in Islam to turn them off, put them in the closet somewhere. You don't even want to see it. Don't listen to anything but Quran and stand up at night. Don't stand up arguing. Don't stand up debating about shit, how you move your finger or whatever's going on. Just read the Quran and stand up at night as much as you can until your feet swell up, until your eyes become red. This is the way we want to catch this reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sheikhs go on, it says, detaching oneself from the women, ordering your family with this, and increasing in actions of obedience and worship in it. And from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل العشرة شد مئزرة وأحيى ليله وأيقظ أهله. That she said radiallahu anha, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to tighten his waist wrapper, his izar. He used to tighten his izar and spend the night in worship, and he awakened his family in the last 10 nights. And this hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And also from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and listen to the wording, يَجْتَهَدُّ or يَجْتَهِدُ فِي الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَاخِرُ مَا لَا يَجْتَهِدُ فِي غَيْرِهَا. That he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to make ijtihad, used to exert himself in the last 10 nights more than he would at other times. And we know that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he stood up every night except when Allah willed. You know, because tahajjud was wajib on the Prophet. And he was already, and we're not saying he was an extremist, we're saying he was already extreme and making tahajjud in the other 11 months. Now she's saying in Ramadan, he used to be more intense in standing. And we know that at one time, at least one time in his life, he recited in the first part of the Salah, Surah Al-Baqarah. And the second part of the Salah, Surah An-Nisa. And the third part of the Salah, Surah Ali Imran. Which also gives you the proof that you can say the surahs out of order. Baqarah, chapter 2, chapter 4, and then chapter 3. Allahu Akbar. Then, which is really important, the sheikhs go on, they mention now alamatuha, the signs of Laylatul Qadr. How do you see what are the signs of Laylatul Qadr? And the signs of Laylatul Qadr according to the scholars bringing there what they know from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah's Messenger described the morning after Laylatul Qadr, so that the Muslim may know in the night, right? So the only way you're going to find out is the next day, and that will also tell you if who's right, the people on the international sighting and the local sighting. Because you see a sun from the signs that the companion mentioned, and some people were saying it was the 28th, and the other people were saying it was the 27th, or the 26th, or the 25th, or the 24th, or the 23rd, or whatever, the next sign will definitely tell you which night it was. That's a true sign within the middle or the end of the month itself, within the month itself. So you're not talking about Sha'ban and Shawwal now. There's some signs right in the month itself to tell you what day it is. So there's no argument. No.
I also told in Medina, you know, to look at the night's premier prior to that, you know, watch the sun as it comes up so you can distinguish.
Yeah, there's some of the ulama, I don't know if he's going to bring it, but he doesn't bring it, but he also says, but there's some of the ulama, they deduce that on that night, the clouds look real low. They look very, very close to the earth. They're very close to the earth, and it becomes chilly, some of the ulama say, it becomes more chilly than others, and it rains. And it rains. There's some mist and there's some rain. And what they deduce from this is from other hadiths, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels, like Allah says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ, that the angels and Jibreel descend by whatever command. So those clouds being close to the earth, this is a sign of those angels descending. So this is one of the signs that they say, and Allah knows best. Allah knows best if they're accurate or not. And if they're correct, they get two rewards. If they're not, they get one. Then, Abu Huraira, in conclusion, radiallahu anhu, he says, تذاكرنا ليلة القدر عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أيكم يذكر حين طلع القمر وطلع القمر وهو مثل شق جفنة شق جفنة شق جفنة. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said, we were discussing ليلة القدر in the presence of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, so he said, which of you remembers the night when the moon arose and was like half a plate, half of a dish? Do any of you, in other words, he's saying, do any of you remember that night, for the night that just passed, that the moon rose and it would look like the half of a plate? In other words, that was Laylatul Qadr. So you got a sign from the sun and you have a sign from the moon. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that these things are a sign for us. And lastly, from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa abihi, he said, Laylatul Qadr, that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laylatul Qadr laylatun samhatun taliqa la haratun wa la baridatun tusbihu shamsu sabihatuha da'ifatan hamra. Laylatul Qadr, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is calm and pleasant, neither hot nor cold. The sun arises on its morning being feeble and red, looking real weak, looking weak and red. So this is one of the signs of Laylatul Qadr from the Sunnah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us, from Ubay and from Abu Huraira and from Abdullah ibn Abbas. And these hadiths, the first one from Ubay, which says that it doesn't have any rays, and it is as if it was a brass dish until it rises up. This hadith is collected by Muslim and Abu Dawud and the Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, all with authentic chains, alhamdulillah. And the one on Abu Huraira that says, which of you remembers the night when the moon arose and it was like a half a plate? This hadith is reported by Muslim and the great scholar Al-Qadi Iyad, the great Maliki scholar. He said, quote, it contains an indication that it was towards the end of the month, since the moon does not appear like that when it arises except towards the end of the month. Right? And then also the last one from Abdullah ibn Abbas, where he said, the Messenger of Allah said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Laylatul Qadr is calm and pleasant, neither hot nor cold. The sun arises on its morning being feeble and red. This hadith is collected by Imam At-Tayalisi And this is Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi, not Abu Dawood, the other Abu Dawood. Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi, and also Ibn Khuzaymah, and also Al-Bazzar, and the chain of this hadith is Hassan. Alhamdulillah. One last thing we'd like to mention, that if we can find it. Now. Yeah. Right. Which goes back to that other hadith. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This hadith is on the authority, it is related by Ibn Jarir from Mujahid radiallahu anhu, who said, كان في بني إسرائيل رجل يقوم الليل حتى يصبح ثم يجاهد العدو بالنهار حتى يمسي ففعل ذلك 1,000 شهر فأنزل الله هذه الآية ليلة القدر خير من 1,000 شهر. Mujahid radiallahu anhu said that there was a man from the people of Israel, the children of Israel, who would stand at night until it was morning, and then he would fight against the enemy in jihad. He would strive against his enemy in the daytime until it was evening. فَفَعَلَ ذَلِكَ 1,000 شَهْرٍ, and he did this for 1,000 months. He did this for 1,000 months. One of the pious, righteous individuals from among the people of the book, from children of Israel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min 1,000 shahr, that this particular night is better than that man who did all that worship staying in his war armor, his armor, for 1,000 months, which is approximately 86.4 months, 86 years 4 months. So the reward that you get in Laylatul Qadr is more than that man doing all that worship for 1,000 months, keeping his armor on, fighting in jihad for 1,000 months, all that other worship standing in night. That night is better than that 86 years and 4 months of complete total worship. Who would want to argue? Who would want to debate? Who would want to sit around and talk, vain conversation? Who would want to look at TV? Who wants to do all these things? The only thing we should be wanting to do are these things that are going to get us that reward in Laylatul Qadr. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive myself and all of you, and to forgive me of any wrongs I've done to any of you brothers. And I ask you to pray for me and my family and for yourselves. And if you make dua, you should make dua for yourselves first, then others. And that Allah forgive all of us and make us united on this book of Allah and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors, and that we don't have any unity on anything other than that. Anything other than that. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us victory over the disbelieving people. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna anta maulana fansurna ala qawmin kafirin. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم وللسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, استغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من 1,000 شهر, تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر, سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. Verily we have sent it, the Quran, down in the night of the Al-Qadr. And what will make you know what the night of Al-Qadr is? The night of Al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. That is, worshipping Allah in that night is better than worshipping Him, not 86, 83, 83 years and 4 months. Therein descend the angels and the Ruh, Jibreel, alayhim as-salam, by Allah's permission with all decrees. Peace, all that night there is peace and goodness from Allah to His believing slaves until the appearance of the dawn. Question. No. No. Alhamdulillah. Ameen. Wallaka mithlu. Does any brothers want to add anything to it? Shaheed, anybody? Brothers, any of the brothers here want to add anything to this? Something that we know it's much more than this we could have said, but is anything you want to add to this Laylatul Qadr or the last 10 nights? Or
I just want to ask a question for those of us who don't have that thing,
whatever you know.
Over and over.
Whatever you know. In fact, if my memory serves me, well, it doesn't serve me correctly because I don't remember it. I'm looking through the Quran here. But there's an ayah that's in the back, at the very end of Surah Ma'idah. Let me see if I can find it. That comes to my mind. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قال الله إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. This is Surah Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Quran, and the ayah is 118, chapter 5, verse 118. This ayah says, "If the English translation, if you punish them, O Allah, they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, verily you, only you, are Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim, are Almighty the Wise." There was a time when the Prophet ﷺ stood up in the night prayer, leading his followers, the Sahaba, in Salah, and he recited that one verse to the whole Salah. That one ayah. And one of the companions was asked, why do you think the Messenger of Allah did this? Why do you think the Messenger of Allah did this? Because this ayah is referencing Isa. When Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, is going to be asked, did you tell the people to take yourself and your mother as gods besides me? And then Isa goes on, you know, saying, never did I say anything except what you did command me to say. Worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness over them while I dwelt among them. But when you take me up, you are the watcher over them. You are a witness to all things. This is a great admonition and warning to the Christians of the whole world. If you punish them, Isa says, he's going to say, if you punish them, O Allah, they are your slaves. If you forgive them, verily you and only you are Almighty the Wise. So one of the companions said to the other one when he asked him this question, perhaps the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept saying the same verse, one verse, over and over and over again to remind us not to do what the Christians did, or those people of Tawheed who followed Jesus, those people who didn't follow Jesus, I should say, among the children of Israel, to remind us. So he kept saying this ayah over and over and over and over again. That's the only thing he recited. So this is another proof that you don't have to say what some people say, three verses. So some people say that you have to recite three verses, right? This is only one verse. So whatever you know from the Quran, قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, just keep saying over and over and over and over again. They asked the man, why is this man keep saying قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, why does he keep saying it? They asked the man, why does he keep saying it? He said, because I love Allah. He says, Allah loves you too. So nothing, you know, alhamdulillah. That's all you, if you only know رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, oh Allah, give us, oh Lord, give us the goodness world and the goodness after and the fairness of the torment of fire. That's it. If you don't know any source, just say Al-Fatiha. That's it. Just say Al-Fatiha, but make sure you say it, brother, and you're saying it slowly and you're not joining the verses and you are contemplating on what you're saying. Just keep thinking alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, that you're going to be standing in front of Allah soon, you know. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more reward than the person who recites the whole Quran quickly, where you can't get the meaning and they just do it languidly. And they don't even pay attention to what they say. Alhamdulillah, Rahman, 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 Rahman. You'll get more reward, Allah knows best, than that person who does that. Inshallah.
I've got a question on that one.
Muqtasid.
I was going to say something first, though. I read the words for the weak people, but I read that the Prophet said, he prepared himself the first 3 days for the last 7 days.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of us are weaker than others. Yeah. And the other part that says unable, weak or unable, like a brother asked yesterday after Fajr, he's going to see about a job. And of course, we got to work, you know. He wants to spend the last 10 days in the masjid. So he asked us yesterday about going to see about this job and then coming back. I said, go see about the job and then you, whatever days that you can spend, spend. Whatever days you can spend, spend it, inshallah. And we have the proof that we just mentioned about those seven. Allah is extremely merciful, brother. And he wants to forgive us. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afu fa'afu anni. Allah, you are afu and you love to give this afu, so give it to me.
As far as the guidelines of tarawih, how does that apply to this last 10 days that you used to pray at night?
It's tarawih, it's tahajjud, it's the same thing. Qiyam al-layl, standing at night, whether it's after Isha in the masjid or with your family or by yourself, it's all the same thing. It's no different.
Okay.
It seems as though, you know, there's a difference of opinion. Some people say you can do as many as you want. But we don't find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the best of creatures, and he's the leader of all the people, of the most pious of people. He's the most pious of all of us. I'm not saying that you can't do more than that. I'm not saying that. But we find that the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he didn't do any more, according to his wife, our mother, Aisha, more than 13. No more than 13. No less than 11. The 10 with the witr. Or I should say the 8, and then the 2, and then the 1 with witr. Right? Or then the 11, and then the 2, the 10, and then the 2, and then the third one makes it 13. He didn't do any more than 13. So I'm not saying that you can, because some of the ulama say you can, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they asked him about the salah, he said, methna, methna. Go by twos, go by twos. So some of the ulama of Ahl Sunnah, they say that you can do as many as you want, based on that hadith, because it's an unrestricted hadith. It says, methna, methna, twos, twos. So you can do as many as you want, some people say. Now people say, no, it's better to do the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do no more than 13. And Allah knows best. Right. So that's what they're going to be anyway, because Taraweeh is nafil anyway. So it's up to you, and Allah knows best. I don't, you know, I'm not able to make hukum and things like that and fatwas, and I just say what the Messenger of Allah left us, you know, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
We're staying in Taraweeh at Damascus. What is the circumstance of the families at home? Women, they stand by themselves, or
they can stand by themselves, or you can have them come to the masjid, or the salah for them is better in the house. You can pray with the imam, or you can go home and leave them in salah. You pray one night in the masjid, then go home the next night and pray with your family. Or according to the in regard to what Dawood just said, according to some of those ulama, you can come here and then you can go leave your family in a few rak'ah.
You know. He's
yeah. So, inshallah, you know, whatever we do, if a person can only stand up 2 rak'ah, then whatever we do, inshallah, you'll find that good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So,
and this is the month. No, in other words, if that's all you can stand is 2, then stand 2. You know, yuridu Allahu bikum al-yusra, wa la yuridu bikum al-usra. Allah desires for us, for you ease, he doesn't desire for you hardship. Some people are weaker than others, you know. Some people have jobs, they have to go to work. You know, so do as much as you can. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. You fear Allah as much as you can. Is anybody else have anything to add? Naam, Aisha. Yeah, that's the point. That's the whole point. If a person prays the raka'ah here, then it seems as though they should wait to pray that at home, the witr, to make it an odd number. It seems as though. But it's probably better to pray all of it with the imam, or pray all of it at home. To me, Allah knows best. It seems as though you shouldn't break it up. It seems as though, and don't take my word for it. I'm not an alim, but it seems as though it's better to pray it with the imam, or don't pray it with the imam and pray it at your house. That's what it seems. Allah knows. Allahu alam. Allah knows best. Because there's a hadith that talks about not leaving, not making insiraf, you know, until the imam, not leaving until the imam finishes everything. You see, so until he finishes his witr. So Allah knows best. Now Omar. That's right. See, so because Taraweeh is tahajjud, it's qiyamul layl, you know. But once again, some of the ulama, based on another hadith, they say, because the Prophet ﷺ said methna methna, right? You can do that. And because of the other opinion, excuse me, Omar, because of the other opinion they have of the hadith that talks about 20 rak'ah, and the Sahaba did 20 rak'ah. And of course, there's some difference of opinion if that hadith is authentic or not. Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Al-Ansari, Hafizullah, is a great scholar of hadith in Saudi Arabia. He says, no, you can pray 20 rak'ah, the hadith is authentic. Sheikh Al-Albani says, no, the hadith is not authentic. So there's differences among the people of knowledge, you know. So if a person wants to use that, they can use it. If a person wants to use this opinion over here, they can use it. Allah knows best. But to be safe, is to just do what the Prophet did. Because we know what he did. He didn't do any more than 13. See, that's the safest way, you know, to fly. You know. Now, Omar was going to say something else, I think, and then. It seems as though we don't find, to the best of my knowledge, we don't find a Sahaba doing this. We don't find a Sahaba doing this. We find them just making all the salah at once and then going home. Nah, I'm a person.
I think I read that if you make the 13 behind the imam, it's like you prayed the whole night.
Yeah, that's another. So a lot of these hadiths, like the general hadiths from different places, you put them together. It seems as though, yeah, it seems as though it's better to do it, you know, at behind the imam or to do it at home. Well, if you do it behind the imam, then you're connected to this hadith that he just mentioned as though you prayed all night. No. That's what Omar was just saying.
Yeah, but my thing was, I would understand that the Prophet is testifying, is praying at night, and waking up his family, doing those last at night. How do we understand that if he was in the masjid?
Yeah, to the best of our knowledge, that wasn't the night that he was in the masjid. To the best of our knowledge, that was the night that he wasn't in the masjid.
Oh, the night he wasn't in the masjid.
That's right. That's to the best of our knowledge. Those were the nights that he didn't come out of his house. He came out of his house and said, I fear that Allah is going to make it wajib on you, so he stayed in. You see?
One of the practices that we did with one imam that we believe is Adam, that when we finished our week at night, when we were at Kedah, about 1 o'clock in the morning, everybody was praying Surah Khan, and that was before the Qiyam at this point. So the Surah Khan was real long. He recited the Baqarah in one verse.
In one rakah. Allah knows best. I don't know. Really, I don't know. Yeah, but definitely the safest way to go is to do it exactly where the Prophet did it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the safest way to go. Ismail. No.
Or more than 13. So now, I mean, just in, like you're saying, the safest way to go is over here. But my point being that, you know, from all the hadith, we look at them all intensifying the hadith and standing up at night, and you look at that, the meaning, to me, of Allah Adam seems to be, you know, Methna Methna. And that's the Prophet Sunnah, that's what he says all the time. Methna Methna, 2-2, unrestricted. And also, I just want to mention, one Ramadan I spent in Egypt. And at the beginning of Ramadan, among the brothers there, some sons of, some of the brothers were on the international side. When the Saudi side of the room, they started fasting. Others said, no, we have a local side. We have ulama here in Egypt. When they side the moon, we're going to fast on the local side. But the importance was, of those brothers, none of them criticized the other.
Right.
The ones who fasted on the international side, they didn't criticize those who waited for the local side who weren't fasting. And the others said, why are you fasting now? They didn't criticize the others.
Yes.
So when we have these little things about when you're fasting or you're making 11 and I'm making, you know, as much as I want, you know, they, you shouldn't criticize one another. You know? And that's what one of the beauties that I saw over there, brothers of knowledge and of deen, they weren't criticizing each other. And they had, this scholar had this Jaleel, and these scholars had that Jaleel, and come to that, you know, and it's open, and it's Wallahu A'lam.
Yeah, this is why I'm saying, that's why I mentioned Sheikh Muhammad Ismail al-Ansari. I mean, no one can take anything away from him. He's a scholar of hadith. And Sheikh al-Albani, of course, is a scholar of hadith. So they have difference of opinion regarding the 20 rak'ah, those hadith of the 20 rak'ah. And even though we, some of us have our own personal swings, based on what we have, the knowledge that we have of usul al-hadith, of the science of hadith, you know, you can see, if you have that knowledge, you can see who's really getting closer to the truth. But at the same time, we don't argue and then we don't bicker. If those brothers want to make 20 rak'ah, they can do it. They can do it. It's up to them. Because they, at least they have something. It's not like they're just taking it out of the clear blue sky. Oh yeah, I'm saying that 20 is, you know. No, they have a hadith. They have a hadith. Whether you believe it's authentic or not, they at least they have something. You see? So, you know, Allah knows best. The person who's making those 20 rak'ah with good intentions, Allah knows best. He may give him a greater reward than the person who doesn't have it, and he may be doing the 13 and want to be seen. Allah knows best. I don't know. But the reason why I ended it by saying the safest way to go is to do what the Prophet did, because he was the best of us. He was the best of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm not saying Allahu alam, that Allah knows best, he was the best of us. I'm saying Allahu alam to the situation of doing this, because we know definitely he's the best of us. Want to remind the brothers, yeah, duha, the salatul duha, after the sun has completely risen, that this is a virtuous, and I think Abu Muslim, he mentioned the hadith that whoever makes the salah after we stay in the masjid after Fajr and you stay here until after the sun rises, it's equal to making Hajj and Umrah. For making Duha, Salatul Duha. So, and don't look at, like Ismail, don't look at anybody bad if they get up and walk out. If they get up and don't want to stand and make the Duha, don't look at anybody bad if they want to go home. You know, maybe they want to go home and get some rest. Right now. As soon as the sun completely rises, and you know, and you for sure that it completely has risen, you can make Salatul Duha. It's 2 rak'ah, and some people say 4, but 2 rak'ah at least, of course. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can find the hadith in Riyadu Salihin that Ali radiallahu anhu said that, or Anas radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah have mercy on anyone who makes that salah. Now, Salatul Zuhr, Salatul Duha. It's from the time that when the sun completely rises all the way up till just a little bit before Zuhr. It's between that time, yeah, any time of year. You know. Some people call it Salatul Ishraq. But that's not the name that the Prophet gave it. He gave it Duha. Why don't you ask her, and then she can. Oh, go ahead. We'll wait, inshallah. At least I will. Those ones, nah. You find out in the book anything about it, one of the signs of light of the closet. You don't hear dogs barking on this night. You don't hear dogs barking? No. I never heard this one. But I tell you, this is something that's very interesting, because analogically, you can take a whole lot of stuff and you can say, that's a sign. You know why? It's because anything that has to do with shaitan,
yeah,
like dogs barking, things like this, and probably they could take that and say, if you don't hear dogs barking but you hear a lot of roosters crowing, because when a rooster crows, that means he's seen an angel. So the Prophet ﷺ said you should ask for the fadl of Allah, seek the bounty of Allah, and when you hear a dog barking, you should seek refuge with Allah from shaitan, because that dog has seen a shaitan. So a person can deduce in their minds, they can, without evidences, without explicit evidences, they could probably take a whole lot of stuff. You know, years ago, I remember we were on South Orange Avenue. I'm just telling you how far back I used to think about these things. When I was first coming to the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr, about Islam in general and Laylatul Qadr specifically, I used to think, man, you know, probably this, when I said salam, when Allah says salam on here hatta matla al fajr, I said, well, this must not be the night, because I used to hear them people outside, man, cursing and throwing beer bottles and you know, so I said, maybe well, this can't be it, because there's no peace. But it wasn't that, you know, it had nothing to do with them, it's us. You know, so if you sit down and start extrapolating, you know, you can science up on a whole lot of stuff. You can, yeah, well, this is the night, you know, this has to be the night, because there's no horns tooting, you know, there's no people arguing, the crack dealers are not out there tonight. You know, it's a whole lot of stuff you could just come up with. You know, now,